Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. Smart speakers, yeah, we got you there. You just asked to play WILK News Radio, and they will. And anywhere you get your favorite podcast, just search for the Rob O'Donnell Show. We're there, the two. 71 degrees, 410 here on this Monday, September 8th, 2025. Yeah, I know it's Monday. I get it. It's a bad week for me, too. It's for obvious reasons. That being said, what's going on across our nation here? We have a bunch of stories, and the media's silence on a lot of these stories are just incredible. And we're going to talk about one a little more later in the show. But you had this NYPD cop who was slashed in the face by this madman with a 14-inch blade who tried cutting her throat. Now, thankfully, he was shot and killed by police. But this female NYPD officer was slashed in the face. Brooklyn Sunday morning, again, a 14-inch butcher knife entered into a police precinct by the back door. I'm sure that's being looked at. Officers chased the attacker, identified by sources as 36-year-old Justin Coleman. Shot him after he refused to drop the knife and lunged at one of the police officers. The attack happened after the man tried to enter the 7th Ward precinct in Brownsville via the employee entrance about 5:28 a.m. When the cops stopped him and told him to go through the front door, he pulled out a knife and slashed her in the face. Law enforcement has said that the knifeman appeared to be trying to cut open the cop's throat with his surprise attack. The heroic female officer, who is the daughter of two NYPD detectives, one of whom is still on the force, was able to block her attacker's blade with her arm that was cut on the top of her head and her left ear. Another officer then tasered the man who fled out the back entrance of the police in pursuit. Now, let's talk a little bit here about restraint. Here's an individual with a 14-inch butcher knife. Slashes a police officer across the head, tries to cut her throat, and another officer attempted to taser the man. So I don't want to hear nonsense about the lack of restraint in our nation's police. If they allowed to let our nation's police be the police, we wouldn't need the National Guard in places like Washington, D.C., in L.A., in soon to be Baltimore, and soon to be possibly Chicago. Because these stories are happening around the nation. We had this story in New York. Now, the attacker looking at other has a lengthy rap sheet. Now, obviously, something is not right with this individual. He goes into a police precinct with a knife and attempts to slash an officer's throat. It was not going to end well. We have the issue in the incident in Philadelphia. I don't know if you've seen the video on that, where a woman was executed on the street in Philadelphia. Just executed in the street over a minor scuffle. And there's somebody recorded the entire thing. And I highly suggest you don't watch it. It's pretty traumatizing if it's not something you're used to. But after a brief scuffle on a street corner, takes out a firearm, puts it to the person's head, and executes them. This is in Philadelphia. And here in New York, we have a individual enter the back door of a police precinct and try to slash an officer's throat. Another officer tasers that individual. They ended up chasing him down the street to where he refuses to drop the knife, lunges at another officer, and they use deadly force. You have the incident in North Carolina. This Ukrainian refugee, Charlotte, gets on a train, minding her business, listening to her AirPods. Another video I highly recommend you do not view. And most of the, it's been cut. Do you know, because of that video, there is talk across the nation now of limiting surveillance because it's actually showing the crime that's out there, because it's actually showing what criminals do. He's sitting behind this young lady, minding her business, listening to her AirPods, watching her phone. Sits behind her, takes out a knife, and lunges it into her, killing her. Walks off the train like nothing's happening with blood dripping from him. And again, we're going to get into the details of that story later in the show, but it's all part of this. It's just, after watching the video, which troubled even me, and in my career, it's hard to do that. The callousness, the nonchalantness, the just, here could be anyone, sister, daughter, wife, mother, just sitting there minding their business. Takes out a knife and just decides, I'm going to kill this individual. Doesn't care who's on the... And then to find out this individual had 14 prior arrests, violent arrests, and is out on the street to do something like this. Okay, so we can have a talk about mental illness. We could have a talk about the issues that are out there in society today. But there's no excuse for our judicial system, be it prosecutors, be it state legislators who are changing the rules when it comes to what people can be held for, what people can be charged with, and judges that make decisions with impunity to not be held responsible. 14 times. The law enforcement's doing their job. Maybe that's why we're short with them as far as staffing goes across our nation. Maybe there's a common denominator there that they're not allowed to do their job, so why apply for it anymore? It's interesting that you haven't had a murder in Washington, D.C. since the National Guard put there, since there's proactive steps being taken, since the police are being freed up to actually be the police. And then you have individuals actually fighting to make these places less safe, while we have an NYPD officer in New York City getting her throat attempted to be slashed, taking a big slash wound across her head and ear. We have this young lady in Charlotte murdered simply for sitting on a train listening to her phone. And you have someone executed in Philadelphia. Some of the things said it was over food. A minor scuffle that ended up with an execution. Now, yeah, so these are just isolated events. Yeah, but these isolated events keep happening. And here's just a circumstance. And what about the issue of no one was covering this Charlotte. No one was covering it until finally they had no choice. Associated Press, CNN, none of them were covering this. This is one of the most callous affronts to public safety in our nation. If you turn this around any other way to the roles being reversed, the races being reversed, whatever it is, it would be front page news on every story. But because it doesn't fit a narrative, because it's a career criminal with mental health issues, doesn't matter that this was a refugee from Ukraine coming here for a better life, leaving a war-torn country. Doesn't matter. He was black, she was white. It doesn't fit the popular narrative of our mainstream media. We're just going to try to ignore it because we downplay those things. And there is a conscious effort by mainstream media to downplay these. The reality of it is that could be anyone's family member sitting there, minding their business, anywhere in this nation. And something like that could happen because of this judicial revolving door we've seen with criminals. Failing to hold them accountable. Failing to keep them with a high bail for the violent crimes they're doing. These are just three stories from just this recent. And there's video on all three of them. And it's all extremely troubling, traumatic video. I have not seen the video of the stabbing of the NYPD officer, but I saw the other two videos, the execution in Philadelphia and this stabbing on the Charlotte train, which scared the hell out of me for the women in my life, the friends of mine who are women, young ladies, their daughters, friends of mine who have daughters and their wives. It terrified me that you could be doing everything right, and you're going to be the victim of a murder simply because you sat in the wrong chair. And that should scare and concern us all. It truly should. And again, unless you got a tough stomach, I'd advise you not to search out the video of the Charlotte train stabbing or the execution, although the video of the execution is pretty distant, but still troubling, to say the least. And thankfully, the NYPD officer was released from the hospital and is doing okay. I'm sure we'll have to deal with the trauma of someone trying to kill her for the rest of her life. But chalk one up for the good guys there. Unfortunately, the young lady in Charlotte and that victim in Philadelphia, not so lucky. Let me tell you about Monk HVAC, heating and air conditioning. I met with this amazing team at Monk HVAC and Air about getting this brand new Mitsubishi electric heat pump system installed. Comfort is their business, and trust me, they mean it. Talk through everything, energy saving, year-round comfort, and the latest tech that keeps your home cozy in the winter and cool in the summer. And that's what I'm looking forward to. Yes, yes. Summer may be coming close to an end, but I'm looking forward to the heat pumps on these. They do both cooling and heating. You hit the remote control, pump some heat into this. My house was 38 degrees this morning. I would have turned on my Monk HVAC system this morning if it was installed. And hopefully, actually, it's going to be installed next week. So I'm looking forward to that. And I'm going to walk you guys through it, but they are incredible. The three things that I had as far as priorities is I wanted a local business, I wanted a family-run business, and I wanted a business that used top-of-the-line equipment. And they checked the boxes on all three. Jim, Rob, Taylor, Lauren, family-run business for decades here in our area. Monk HVAC, check them out. You couldn't be happier. Mitsubishi Diamond Elite Contractors, trained premier comfort specialist, 24/7, 365 a year. Cool club maintenance plans, water heaters same day if you have an emergency. MonkHVAC.com. Check them out. Tell them I sent you. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Got some text messages in. They need to bring back the death penalty, but not wait to do it and have these criminals sit around for years, yeah, unfortunately. When will the judges be held responsible for letting that person go 14 times and he ends up killing someone? They won't. They have judicial immunity and they won't be. And that needs to change. And the only way that could change is by changing the law to have some sort of responsibility here. Listen, I firmly believe that if judges are overturned on appeal, there should be a limit to how many times you could be overturned on appeal. And if you hit your limit, then you have to stop being a judge. Now, if you want to go back to being a lawyer or whatever, because most judges are lawyers, but they should not be sitting on a bench anymore. If most of your decisions or a good majority of your decisions are overturned by a higher court, well, then you shouldn't be doing it because you're making the wrong decisions, obviously. And the same thing in a situation like this. There needs to be some sort of judicial review when something like this happens. And now, again, I'm sure the same 14 judges, same judge did not deal with all 14 of these cases, but someone's life was taken, and someone needs to be held responsible for that. And if that was anything else or anywhere else that was negligent 14 times and somebody ended up losing a life, there would be some sort of lawsuit, be it either criminally or civilly. And here, there's just a pass. And again, you have law enforcement doing their job. In a lot of cases, you have prosecutors doing their job or are being limited by state legislators by changing the rules as far as no cash bail and nonsense like that, or, you know, degrading misdemeanor charges or this nonsense that they want to bring in New York City with this mayor candidate. Something needs to be done, and the judges need to be held accountable, not only for decisions like that, but again, I think there should be a limit to how many times they could be overturned on appeal. And if you hit that limit, well, see ya. You got to be off the bench. Some issue here for our areas, again, is chronic wasting disease is in our area and spreading. It's 100% fatal for the animals that are affected. Part of the challenge is that with part of the challenge of managing CWD, is that an infected positive deer could look absolutely normal. It could take up to 18 months for deer to develop clinical symptoms. Visible symptoms can include disorientation, loss of body weight.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Excessive salivation, excessive urination, some loss of motor control, lack of fear of humans. So because of it being in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, while you're out in the field, either hiking or a hunter, if you see an animal acting strange or via any of these symptoms, contact your game commission office. Let them know, and if they're available, they'll come out and check it out. And if they can get the deer, have it tested for the area. But just know that chronic wasting disease is in Pennsylvania. It is the number one cause of deer death in Pennsylvania, is hunters, and preventing CWD from being a risk to humans as well as safeguarding the state's deer herds. As of now, there's no cross-contamination between deer and humans. But just know that it is here, and with hunting season, you should be aware of it. It's coming up on 4:31 here at WILK. Time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's the point of the show where we honor our heroes and law enforcement here at home who made the ultimate sacrifice on this day. Today we have five. We're going to start off with Officer John A. Aiello, Hamburg Borough Police Department. And September 8th, 2000, he suffered a heart attack while making an arrest at the 300 block of State Street in Hamburg. He and another officer responded to a domestic disturbance call involving a suspect with an outstanding warrant. While the suspect was being handcuffed, he suffered a fatal heart attack, was flown to a local hospital where he was pronounced deceased. We have Deputy Sheriff Harry D. Siegfried, Lehigh County Sheriff's Office in 1926. Him and one of his deputies, Sheriff Mark Sensenbach, were shot and killed in Weisenberg Township while attempting to arrest a man for failing to pay a $2 fine for not sending his children to school. When the officers arrived at the farmhouse, the man's wife told them that he was not home but would not cooperate. As they began searching the property, they observed the man walk into his woodline holding a gun. The sheriff called for assistance from the Allentown Police Department, several officers responding. When they arrived at the scene, the man approached them and opened fire, killing the deputy and the sheriff of Lehigh County. Now, this was 1926. We have Patrolman Lewis Henry Hunfenagel, Craftenborough Police Department in Pennsylvania, 1919, was shot and killed after responding to a burglary call at a home at Sterrett Place at 2 a.m. Again, that was on this day in 1919. And Patrolman John L. Wilson, Homestead Borough Police Department in Pennsylvania, 1918, was shot and killed while attempting to arrest a man for trespassing inside a home at 335 6th Avenue. And those are our five today on this date that made the ultimate sacrifice in law enforcement. Well, I have your attention here. I have Kimberly Greenleaf from our sales department here, one of our account executives, and she's got a great event coming up, Rhythm in Recovery, September 20th at Kirby Park. Kimberly, tell us about this event.
Thanks so much, Rob. It's glad to be here. Rhythms in Recovery is to honor National Recovery Month. So September's National Recovery Month. And we do so much for the overdose awareness, suicide prevention, and those that have recovered from any habit, hiccup, hang up.
And trauma.
Yeah, sure. Pain, loss, addiction, in many forms, gather together to celebrate National Recovery Month. So at 10 a.m., we're going to open up registration. And if you register, it's a $20 donation, and it's going to benefit Dress for Success, Luzerne County. Linda Loop goes in the trenches to help men and women reestablish their lives, become productive members of society again.
All right. And they could look out more at this at rhythmsinrecovery.com, and they can register there and find out more about the event.
Yes, they can. Please join us. Lissa from KRZ will be kicking off the day at 11 a.m. with her music. And we also are featuring the Dallas Carter Band and Tori V and the Karma. They're both amazing musicians and bands, and there's going to be free lunch for the walkers, and we have a vendor village, we have a kid zone with bounce houses, plenty of food trucks, we have a mind, spirit, and body zone for meditation and light body workouts. We have the entire park, so please join us, bring your family and friends, and we look forward to seeing everybody out there.
And beforehand, any businesses out there that want to donate a gift basket or a gift card or something like that, they can contact you. How can they do that?
Oh, that would be great. We're doing a huge raffle zone to have more proceeds benefit Dress for Success. So they can reach out to me either through Kimberly Rivera on Facebook. They can drop off any raffle baskets or items or gift cards here at the radio station at 305 Route 315 here in Pittston. They can go right to Rhythms in Recovery Facebook page and message me. We'd love to get some more donations for our raffle zone to raise some additional money, more awareness to the community.
Yeah, and a great, great event, Rhythm and Recovery for Recovery Month, and Dress for Success, a great organization. How can you not support an organization like that for our area?
Agreed.
And a lot of people don't realize that a lot of time it is people in recovery trying to get themselves on their feet who have suffered trauma that depend on organizations like Dress for Success to help them do their job interviews or help them, you know, with events they might have.
Most definitely. I will personally say almost 10 years ago, Linda helped me. She put me in my place, told me to sit down, be quiet. You don't know anything. And she was my first rock in my foundation up here, which led me to be very successful, humbly saying that with Odyssey here. So it's an honor to be able to have an event to raise money for Dress for Success Luzerne County.
All right. I'm going to put a link to this event on my social media, on my Facebook page. You could check it out there, but it's rhythminrecovery.com.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kimberly. It's 4:42 here at WILK. Time for 2020 traffic and weather together. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show here on WILK News Radio. It's time for Today in History, because how do we know where we're going unless we remember where we've been? So we have an overview of this day, September 8th in U.S. history, featuring a mix of pivotal milestones, cultural firsts, natural disasters, and landmark moments. Let's see what we have. 1974, President Gerald R. Ford granted a full, free, and absolute pardon of former President Richard Nixon, absolving him for any crimes committed during his presidency. This decision came just a month after Ford assumed office and remains one of the most controversial pardons in American political history. 1900, Galveston, Texas, was struck by a catastrophic hurricane that killed an estimated 8,000 people, making it the deadliest natural disaster in U.S. history. Again, 1900. 1565, Spanish explorers founded St. Augustine, Florida, which stands today as the first permanent European settlement in North America. A lot of people don't know that, right? St. Augustine, Florida, 1565. 1664, the Dutch surrendered New Amsterdam to the British, who promptly renamed it New York. 1664. 1957, celebrated tennis player Althea Gibson became the first black competitor to win the U.S. National Championship, now known as the U.S. Open. 1964, in Virginia's Prince Edward County, public schools reopened after a five-year closure imposed to resist racial desegregation. 1986, the Oprah Winfrey Show aired nationally for the first time, launching a groundbreaking 25-season run. 1998, St. Louis slugger Mark McGwire broke Roger Maris's long-standing single-season home run recorded by hitting his 62nd homer. 1966, Star Trek premiered on NBC with the Man Trap episode, ushering in one of the most influential sci-fi franchises in history. And 1935, Populist Senator Huey Long of Louisiana was shot in his state capital and died shortly thereafter. We have a couple beyond the U.S. borders here. 1504, Michelangelo unveiled his iconic statue of David in Florence. 1941, the siege of Leningrad began as German forces encircled the city, marking one of the most grueling episodes of World War II. 1951, climatic peace treaty with Japan was signed by 49 nations in San Francisco, solidifying post-World War II transitions. And we got some birthdays today. Ruby Bridges, 1954, civil rights icon who at age six became the first black child to integrate an all-white school in New Orleans. Pink, the performer, 1979, pop rock singer-songwriting known for her powerhouse vocals and acrobatic stage performances. And, Senator Bernie Sanders, 1941, also shares his birthday today, currently 84 years old. And that's Today in History. Looking to see what else we have here. And again, the precursor to how the world changed, especially the United States, on a week like this week. We're going to be talking about it in the September 11th anniversary coming up. But if you go back 24 years ago today, it was like a different world, and it is. And it's interesting because you have a section of this nation who are like, well, why don't we move on? And if I could count the amount of times that I've been told, that my children have been told, why don't you move on? Oh, we moved on. But it doesn't take much to be back there that day. And I remember vividly how it was, how life was, how my life was before September 11th, because it did change forever. And I'll never forget that my kids, when they were in elementary school, middle school, and high school, used to wear a memorial pin on September 11th, to where one of their teachers said, why do you have that? And they said, oh, because my dad was a first responder on 9/11. And they were even told as children by their public education teachers. Well, don't you think it's time to move on? And had the wherewithal to kind of internally giggle about that. And, you know, I had to outwardly do the same thing to them when they came home and told me. Because didn't want them to see how infuriated I was by something like that, but how ignorant, you know, someone who proclaimed to be someone who was educating them would be. And as time moves on, you will see more and more of this. But I don't recall anyone ever telling someone who dealt with such a major event in our nation, you know, don't you think you should get on with it? Get past it or move on. But like I said at the beginning of the show, I'm honored to have been asked to open up the session in Harrisburg of our state Senate on Wednesday, September 10th, in honor of September 11th, with the opening prayer. So I will be down in Harrisburg. I believe the session starts at 11 o'clock. I will be back here for the start of the show. I don't think it should take me too long to get from Harrisburg to here. It's only about an hour and a half, hour and 40 minutes. So I should be back here normally, but I will be back here one way or another. And on September 11th, we will have our regular September 11th show right here in the studio. And we got that all ready to go for you. And it's remember it the way it should be remembered. So that's a little bit of this week in history, I guess, or at least my personal history. It's 4:52 here. I think we have the NEPA Premium Perks. Enjoy this half-off deal for Mistin Mountaintop. They got a great dinner deal. Get a $40 gift certificate for only $20, valid 3 p.m. to closing. It offers a full selection of sushi and sashimi entries, teriyaki and tempura dinners, as well as specialty rolls, appetizers, and hibachi dinners. Located at Kirby Avenue in Mountaintop, visit GetMyPerks.com for all the details. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It is 4:55 here, 70 degrees, on this Monday, September 8th, 2025. It's been since February that Lackawanna County does not have a third commissioner, and it appears it's going to be a little bit longer, which is going to start having repercussions on the business, county business that takes place here. Now, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court's review of the Lackawanna County Commissioner issue is extremely narrow in scope, rejecting all other aspects of Commissioner Bill Gaughan's lawsuit in requesting an appeal. As a matter of fact, they've rejected everything but a single issue that they're going to look at. I just put that Supreme Court order on my Facebook page, so you could check it out there and look at it. And basically, it rejects all other aspects officially of that appeal request, and it's limited to a single issue: whether the Home Rule Charter may supplant the uniform procedure in Pennsylvania RGA 1908 that applies to courts of common pleas when filling vacancies of public office, in a public office. Now, again, what's dumbfounding here is the exact same process is used to fill the clerk of judicial records as it is for the county commissioner seat. One went forth and the other didn't. I don't, to this day, understand how that happened. I understand only one was appealed to the Supreme Court and their stay was for the appointment of the county commissioner. But how does the Court of Common Pleas, knowing that there's a stay for the appointment of the Lackawanna County commissioner, move forward with the appointment of the clerk of judicial records if it's exactly the same process? I don't understand how that happened. I don't understand how that can happen. And that's on the Court of Common Pleas. I understand the scope of the Supreme Court was just in regard to the commissioner position. But you would think in good judicial prudence that the courts of common pleas would say, well, this also has to apply to the clerk of judicial records because it's the same exact process. And it didn't. And it just goes to show how conflated this entire issue is. And now what you're going to have as far as the special election, even if someone is appointed by this by the Court of Common Pleas, even if they appoint and move ahead with swearing in Brenda Sacco, and a special election is ordered for November. Well, I would assume that the Republican, the Democrat, Lackawanna County Democrat Council will make Brenda Sacco their candidate. The Republican committee will nominate a Republican. And we already have at least one independent that is running who is a Democrat by all other means but what he's listing on the paperwork. And it seems to be the Hail Mary pass of someone who Commissioner Bill Gaughan would prefer in that position. Again, someone to help him maintain power. And that's what this is all about. And he could talk about how detrimental, if you don't go my way, it's going to be to Lackawanna County. Those are the typical scare tactics that Democrats are known for. And I would expect none less from Bill Gaughan. Now, what you can expect is he's the same person with his teammate that fled the position that gave us a 33% tax increase. He has also talked about democracy time and time again when his goal and his actions are just about power. So it's going to be interesting that this drags on further. And I find it comical every time it's talked about is the lawsuit or the appeal by Commissioner Bill Gaughan and Lackawanna County when it's been made clear from the lower courts that he cannot act unilaterally as an individual on the county's behalf. They have to act as a board, but keep saying county, county, county. No, the county has nothing to do with this. And whatever the Supreme Court comes to the decision, if we're waiting till November for a special election, it doesn't look like a lot of business in Lackawanna County is going to get done. So again, a lose-lose situation for Lackawanna County. You would think, why not let it move forward with a temporary, at least a temporary commissioner, where business could be done on a full scale? That's what the voters of Lackawanna County are entitled to. And then have your special election and let the people decide, right? And then you have the lawsuit from the Democratic Committee on the election altogether. So again, a lot of gray area here, it looks like. 5 o'clock here at WILK.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.